I'm very thankful to be here tonight. And I'm thankful that the Lord inspired us with a little thought. And by the help of the Lord, we will try not to be too long. I've sort of confessed here before, I'm long-winded. But I am thankful for the purpose of this service. And I'm sure that some of you who have had loved ones to get saved understand the joy that I feel. Yeah. That my brother I told him, I said, "Bobby, we can go to heaven together now." And he says, "Well, I hope not at the same time." And that would be okay too. So I'm very thankful tonight for salvation.
Yes.
Thankful for the plan of salvation. Thankful for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for the promises of God.
Yeah.
So I want to say just a little bit, don't plan to say a whole lot about baptism, for I know that you had a Bible study concerning that. But I do want to say that candidates that are for this ordinance, this is an ordinance of the Word of God, this is ordered of the Lord. This ordinance of baptism, these that are entering into baptism tonight are already clean. In other words, they are not going down into the water a sinner. They are saved. They are washed. Thank the Lord. What are they washed in? The blood of the Lamb. Thank the Lord. And everyone that belongs to God and has given their heart and life to Him and repented, they did it through the blood. So I'd like to say that they have already passed from death unto life. And I'm going to say this, that every sin is washed away. Thank the Lord. I think it's so wonderful to know the word of His promise. Psalms 103 and 12. It says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." So, how far is the east from the west?
You keep going.
And that's how far He's removed our transgressions. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, that's a promise. There are several scriptures in the Word of the Lord that confirms that God establishes everything in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I like that. And so I'm going to give you three witnesses in the Word of the Lord that God forgives our sins and forgets. Jeremiah 31 and 34, I'm giving you part of that one. It says, "They shall all know me from the least to the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin no more." You know, you and I can remember our own sins. The enemy tries to bring those things up to us, tries to accuse. He is an accuser of the brethren, the scripture says. But God doesn't remember it. If you were to go to God and you were to say, "Well, Lord, I am so sorry I did that sin back then." You know what He would say? "I don't even know what you're talking about. It's under the blood." The second scripture is in Hebrews 8 and 12, and it says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." So that's the second witness. And the third witness is also in Hebrews 10 and 16 and part of 17. And it said, "This is the covenant I will make with them, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Precious promises.
Amen.
And if you've been saved a long time, you need to remember this too.
Amen.
I'm thinking about Christian when he was passing over that final river. And Hopeful was his companion. But the enemy came and began to accuse him and brought back to his mind the sins of his youth. And Hopeful was the one that encouraged him, said, "Oh, brother, right here is the solid rock." And he made it across. We need hope tonight. Hope in the word of the Lord and the promises of God that our sins are under the blood and are not remembered against us anymore. Praise God. So, with confidence, we can all say our sins are under the blood and washed away. So, these, I'm going to use a part of a scripture just to make this statement. And it says, this is part of my words. These redeemed candidates, that's what they are tonight.
Yes.
They're a candidate to enter into this baptism. They will be buried with him by baptism unto death. So they also, skipping down to the next verse, so also should walk in newness of life. You know, if you've been saved a long time, we need to be reminded what it's like to be saved afresh and new.
Yes.
To see a new babe. And what it does, it revives us, it renews us, it inspires us, it causes us to almost feel like we've gotten saved all over again. God wants that. He wants us to enjoy those that are starting off young, new in the Lord. We want to, just like a new babe, we watch every new thing that they do. That's what we enjoy. And so we enjoy it in this way too. And then verse 6 of that same chapter, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified..." Something happens. In order for you and me to enter into this ordinance of baptism, we've had to have something crucified. Christ was crucified. Christ gave his life. And now it comes down to you and me. And then it says, "And that henceforth we should not serve sin." It's no longer. I'm not going to want it. I'm not going to desire it. He has made my heart white and new. There is a song in the Blue Book, and I noticed that your Blue Books aren't here. But this song has really spoken to me, even when there is not a baptismal service. And it's a song that speaks about the power of baptism. And I'm only going to give you the first verse and the chorus. But it says, "Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin." Now listen to this part. And if you're here this evening, it will pay us to take note of what could happen. Because it will happen. Satan may call, the world may entreat me, You know, when we move away from these things and we start on a new path, there's always something the enemy wants to bring to our mind to try to draw us back. Be ready for it. Be prepared. Recognize it. He will do all of these tactics in one way or another. And the scripture says that you and I are not to be ignorant of his devices. We are to, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So Satan may call and the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. I like that. When I sing that song, I can raise my hand because I have no response to the pleasures of the world, to the temptations. When the enemy comes, even when he is an accuser, I can still recognize it. God gives us power over Satan. Thank the Lord. And he never wants his children to be subject unto Satan's powers. The chorus of that says, dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Did you catch that? Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. We were there. We can possibly remember those places that they were a joy to us. We took pleasure in them. And yet we are dead to the world, to the pleasures. And then it says, yet 'tis not I, dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. That's the power of salvation. It is not you. It is not me. We do not have that power except it be given unto us from Christ. Thank the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17. It also speaks about a new creature. And it says, if any man or any woman, I can insert that, be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So I would like to speak to you just a little bit about a new creature. A new creature is a changed creature. And maybe we didn't even really like who we were before. Maybe we didn't like what we were or what we did. Maybe we took part in those things and afterwards felt so badly. And we didn't like it and we wanted to be different, but we could not help ourselves. I'm thinking of how that many people try to change. Those that are bound by, as we've heard, prescription drugs or drugs of any kind or alcohol or any of the habits that are binding people today in the world, they don't really want to be bound. They want to be free. And they try to seek after some way of getting free from those kind of things that bind their lives. And maybe they come to the to New Year's Day and they make New Year's resolutions and this year it's going to be different. I'm going to change this year. Maybe they say, well, I just need to turn over a new leaf and maybe I can do better. Maybe I can gradually be released from these things, but it takes the power of Christ to release us from those things that we are bound with. But when the work of salvation is wrought in the heart, we know it. It is evident. There is a witness of the Spirit, and it happens, and it shows forth the power of Christ enables everyone to change then. We can be different. We can overcome. we can overcome the old man and become that new man. There is a scripture in Revelations 2 and 17 that I would like to present to our minds tonight. The latter part of that verse says, "To him that overcometh will I give a white stone, and in the stone will be a new name." Physically, people die every day, and they are taken out and buried. And in time, there is a stone that is erected at their grave. On that stone will be their name, most of the time their birth date and their death date. And maybe you've heard of a poem that has been written about the dash. And what that represents, that's a lot of living in between a birth and a death. But it represents all of the years that a person has lived, and it speaks a lot of times to others of what they remember of that person. We visit graves. My husband happens to be one that enjoys going through cemeteries. Often we will look at the names on there and the dates and all, and maybe talk about it, don't even know who they are, but it leaves an impression on us. Yes. Well, this scripture says that if you overcome, you're going to have a white stone, and your new name is going to be on that stone. So I want to talk to you a little bit about Jacob. Jacob, and this is from the 32nd chapter of Genesis, actually. But I'm just going to paraphrase about Jacob's life. His name meant something. When he was born and he was given this name, and what it meant was supplanter. And he was a man that thought of himself. That's what people would have said about him. He had a reputation. People observed how he treated others to get what he wanted. And we all know that he took advantage of his brother, took advantage of a moment of weakness of his brother, and he received his brother's birthright. His brother became very angry with him and actually hated him. And then it came time that the father was going to give the blessing, and it was to go to the oldest son. And in that process, Jacob, along with his mother, he deceived his father. And he received the blessing. And after that, his brother wanted to kill him. And so they sent him away. Jacob went to his mother's people. And so 20 years has passed. And in that 20 years, he still lived up to his reputation. He was still a man that tried to take advantage for his own benefit. But in that 20 years, I think something happened. He wanted to make peace with his brother. He wanted to go back home. He had been gone 20 years. And so Jacob heads back home with his wives and all of his children and all of his cattle and all of his servants and everything that he had. He's going back now. And he is wanting to make peace with his brother. Well, if you look at verse 24 of that chapter, We're going to talk about a scene of Jacob's life that really changed him. It said, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man." This is at night, and this was a great contest.
Yes.
He wanted to prevail, and he would not give in until he was blessed. He wrestled so hard in these verses here, if you read them there, that it said that even his hip joint came out of socket. And yet he would not give in. Let's look at verse 26 now. He said, "Let me go." This was the angel. The angel said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" You know, we could all have that question given to us tonight. What is your reputation? What is your name? What do people see? What are you demonstrating in your life? Well, he answered correctly. He said, "My name is Jacob." And they knew what that name meant. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." You know, God wants to give each of us a new name. A new reputation, a new life. He wants us to be a new creature. He wants old things to pass away and all things become new. He wants us to be dead to the world. He wants us to not respond when the enemy speaks to us, when the voice of the enemy comes in temptations or accusations. He wants us to have a new name. And so he said, "Thou shalt not be called this anymore. You're going to be called Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man," or with men, it says. Did you know God wants us to not only have power with him, he wants us to have power with our fellow man. He wants us to have an influence over our neighbor, over our family, over our people that we work with, people that we come in contact with at Walmart, wherever it is. He wants your light to shine. He wants that light to be very bright in our lives. We sing a little song. This morning I had only one little child in my Sunday school class, and he doesn't know very much about the Bible. I really take a lot of pleasure when I have him. And so the first thing he says, "I want to sing the song, This Little Light of Mine, because my grandma sang it when she was young." And I said, "Well, honey, I sang it when I was young. And so it's a real old song." And so we sing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, and don't let Satan blow it out, and let it shine in the neighborhood." And we went through all of that. And then I said, "Do you know what the little light is?" And he said, "Oh, yes, it's the sun." Well, you see, little children don't understand. And that's our opportunity to let them know when Jesus is living in me and that light is shining out. That's what we are, his light. Thank the Lord. And so Jacob now, he's no longer going to be called this name that everybody knew his reputation. And now he's going to be called Israel because he has power with God and with men. Thank the Lord. And then it says, not only that, because you have prevailed. I want to tell you, we've got to fight. The scripture says to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. You can't lay down. You can't sit down. You can't get weary. It says, "Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." So we need to be encouraged. Press forward. Forward, forward is the battle cry. Onward, onward to our home on high. That's got to be your goal. And so Jacob asked him and he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Is it important for us to know the name above all names? Is that important? It's important. Because there's no other name whereby men shall be saved. And this doesn't necessarily say this was Christ. But I have from comments, God's name was on this angel, possibly Christ. So he didn't tell him what his name is, but you and I know his name today. And whatsoever we ask in his name, he said, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. This is the name above all names. Yes, I need a new name. I need a new reputation. I need people to look at me and say, that was that old man. I love telling about, and I didn't know it. I didn't know that Delmer Wilkins had a temper. I never knew him when he had that. Not until his funeral. And Brother Curtis told that. And I'm sitting there, I'm sitting over here, I'm just in amazement. This was the most gentle man I ever knew. He had such a, I'm going to say, reputation. He had a new name. He had a name that in business, that he worked honestly. Don't you know that gives us a name? Our business dealings affects our name in the community and with other people. But Brother Delmer, and I don't want to affect anyone, but I'm going to tell you, I remember him nearly every time I pray, because I'm praying for someone that is needing deliverance from a temper. And I always say, Lord, deliver this one like you did Delmer Wilkins. That's what a new name does. We can look around and we can see others with a new name and we can say, Lord, make me like that. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
So this new name, God's name, is above every name.
Yeah.
And then we skip on down and, oh, I got to finish verse 29. And he blessed him there.
Yes. Yes,
Israel. He was blessed in that place. I would say it was a spiritual blessing. He came away. The scripture tells us that he walked. He passed over and the sun rose upon him in verse 31. And he halted upon his thigh. And I'm not sure if it was that way for the rest of his life. I tried to look that up. I'm not sure about that. But he definitely walked differently after he wrestled with the angel. I'm going to tell you, we need to walk differently.
Yes.
We can't walk in the same way we did before. If we have Galatians 6 and 17 says this, bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. When we walk among men, we need to bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. There is another scripture that says that, speaking of the disciples, it said that they took note that they had been with Jesus. Something was different. Because they had been with Jesus. When you and I spend time with the Lord in his word, praying and seeking after the things that are above, which he tells us to do that, seek those things that are above, not the things of the earth. We all know we need the earth. We need houses. We need clothes. We need food. We need cars. God knows we need all of that. But we need God. And we need a new name. Thank the Lord. So Israel was blessed there, and he became a changed man. I want to read a scripture in Hosea 12 and 4. Well, I'm not going to turn and read it. I'm just going to paraphrase it a little bit rather than to take the time to. But this particular verse is referring to Jacob when he was in his wrestling, travailing time. And this is what it said. It spoke of how he struggled and prevailed. And then the next part of that verse says, he wept and made supplications. Now I'm going to leave a little bit of advice and counsel. Did you know that your prayers and your tears are your best weapons? And the scripture tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't retaliate. We should not. We shouldn't give evil for evil. Never. That's a reputation. That's another name. That's our old name. But we need a new name. And so when we go before the Lord and we are struggling and we are wrestling and we need you to bless me, do you wrestle until you get the blessing? We must. We must also wait on the Lord. And he says, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, and he will strengthen thine heart. Yes. There's a lot of waiting sometimes. There are times that it says, the scripture tells us that he will be silent. And maybe we won't feel his presence. But we must have faith and believe that he is there. And by waiting, he will come. He will come to us. Thank the Lord. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The things that come into our lives, the troubles, the sorrow, the grief, whatever you want to put in that name, in that place, it can become a stronghold. It become a hard place. I recently... It was a little before Monarch. I had the darkest night that I have ever had in my life. I was not able to sleep. I was up praying and crying out to the Lord. And it looked like even at daybreak that it would be still dark. I couldn't wait for the daylight. But I want to tell you something. God helped me. There's a song that we sang this morning in Sunday school, and it speaks about our song in the night. Oh, when we have night experiences, when things do look dark, when we don't see an end, and we don't see how it can work out, and but to have that song in the night. Oh, God will be with us in the night hours, in the dark time. So when you need a new name, I've written down some things here. When you need to overcome yourself.
Yes.
Did you know your worst enemy is yourself? Your worst enemy is probably your mind. And the imaginations of your mind. And it can be so many things. Worry over the future. I want to say, keep self crucified. Keep self buried. Wrestle with God in those times. And this is for all of us. fight and resist. He says to resist the devil and he will flee. That's a promise. And use your prayers and your tears as your most effective weapons. You know this story about Esau and Jacob doesn't end where I ended. Sometimes we make Esau look pretty bad. And it was bad. What he did, it was bad. But you know, in that 20 years, God did something to Esau too. Esau was eager to see his brother. Somewhere, something God did for Esau, he was able to forgive. And have you read that part where they came together?
Yes.
It's in the next chapter. That'd be a good chapter for you to read. It said that Esau ran toward Jacob. Jacob had already sent him gifts to try to appease his brother. And Esau looked at all, "Brother, what is all of this? I don't need it, brother. I have plenty." And the scripture says that Jacob bowed. He passed over and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. He wanted him to know he really was sorry. Did you know they fell on each other's neck and they kissed each other? Do you know what that says to me? That's the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of reconciliation. Thank the Lord. Read it sometimes, the rest of the story. It's a beautiful story. Pray for me.